Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Jake Kurtz, who is the founder and CEO of Brick Media, which focuses on social media content and management and paid advertising. Today, we're going to be discussing Jake's journey of building his agency and how he's grown Brick Media, all the challenges he's overcome along the way. And I'm really excited to dive in. So thanks so much for joining us today, Jake.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor.
So yeah, let's dive into a couple questions so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm tuning in from Tampa, Florida, the Sunshine State. It's like 85 degrees and humid. So I moved down here in 2013, and sometimes it's still hard to get used to the heat down here, but I'm loving it.
That's awesome. I love it. And then, so what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
As an entrepreneur, I think it's just the ability to wake up every day. Like, I mean, selfishly, it's like the freedom to kind of like craft my life in the way that I want it to happen and the way I want things to flow and the way that I want my week to be and my day to be and things like that. But on a more selfless level, it's just the idea that whatever platform I end up building with Brick Media, whether it's like my personal brand, Brick itself, combination of both, just being able to inspire people, help people, motivate people, obviously help grow people's businesses. So it's a combination of all those different things. But I love being an entrepreneur, and I never even realized that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. But I'm sure you're going to ask me some stuff about that. But definitely did not come from a family of entrepreneurs. It just kind of happened at the right time, and I'm grateful for it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely want to dive into that. So I'd love to know, you know, first how you got into digital marketing, and then, yeah, we'll definitely dive into your story of how you started Brick Media.
Sure. So I graduated from, I was born in California, but I was raised the majority of my entire life in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I went to college up there in a little school in downtown. And I moved down to Tampa in 2013. So 2013 was like the year I graduated school. And then 3 months later, I moved down to Tampa. So just to put like the time frame in context for you.
Yeah.
But 2013 was like, you know, digital marketing was a thing, but it definitely was nothing like it is today. So literally like my first job was like figuring out how to set up like a Google AdWords campaign and then like remarket using display ads and like things like that. Like those were the tactics, and it was all about direct response, like branding and like kind of long-term marketing wasn't even like at the forefront of people's minds just yet. So that was kind of the timing of when I got into the industry. But as far as why I got into it and kind of everything like that, I was never the type of person in college or even in high school that had like a clear idea of what I wanted to do for a living. I just knew that I probably wanted to go into the business world in some way, whether it was finance or marketing or accounting or whatever, whatever. And then in college, I took a bunch of different classes that were, you know, all those different topics, and everything bored the heck out of me, or I was terrible at it and like was failing all the tests until I got to marketing and I realized like, man, okay. It started to make a little bit more sense whenever I thought about it more deeply, because I was already kind of self-taught with like how to build like a WordPress website. And I was always a big social media person, like just in my personal life and like, you know, getting out there with my network and things like that. So marketing just kind of clicked for me. But as far as like digital marketing as a whole, I just sort of locked out with like my first job ever being like a Google AdWords, you know, display marketing, very digital type of job. So, you know, it could have easily gone a lot differently. Like if I had gone, you know, right out of school and started selling radio ads, or like was like a creative account manager at like some agency or something. But digital
just
was
kind
just
of fell into something that you were passionate about.
100%.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, I have kind of a similar story, but yeah, like same thing. Like when I was in high school, I had no idea what I wanted to go to college for. I was just like mediocre at like every subject because I wasn't passionate about it until I took a marketing class. And then it was like, same thing. The light bulb just kind of clicked. I was like, wow, I love this. And then I ended up going to college for advertising. But yeah, it's most digital marketers, they just kind of fall into the industry. You know, it's not the norm that you go to college or university for it at all. It's just, you kind of just fall into it and you've got that passion and then it just goes from there.
Yeah. And college specifically, like when I was in college, teaching digital marketing was not even really a thing. Like it was still emerging in the mainstream like business world, let alone in college. Like they hadn't at the time even developed programming and courses around it. So
yeah,
a lot of what I quote unquote learned in college about digital marketing was very theoretical and like maybe making like a social media plan or something. And like none of it felt very real world. So I kind of just dove into it right when I got into my career. And I just kept kind of going up the corporate ladder in the digital space once I got into it. So
awesome. So what was that deciding factor to start Brick Media for you?
So from 2013 up until 2018, I was the stereotypical, like, stay at a place for a year and like bounce to another agency or another company. Mm-hmm. So I just kept leaving companies in like 12 months to 18 months. And I never really understood why I was doing that, because I'm kind of a very like reflective person. And like, I'm always kind of analyzing myself to try to figure myself out. And I was trying so hard to figure out, why do I keep leaving jobs like every 12 months, like every 18 months? Like I just can't stay at a place. And
yeah.
I was trying to be honest with myself and be like, am I just obsessed with money? Like, do I just want to keep getting bigger raises? And like, am I just not patient enough to stick around at a company for long enough? Do I not get along with leadership? Like, what's my problem type of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I started to realize over time that it would always hit a point at a company where I would have an idea, or I would have an opinion on something, or a thought on a way to like accomplish something or get a brand out there more. And it would always hit a point where either leadership couldn't let that move forward because of like different priorities, like at the top level of the company,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, a million different reasons. But I started to realize, like, maybe I'm just the type of person that kind of needs to be the one that's making all the decisions and like be the final person at the end of the day that's making things happen.
Yeah.
And I guess I just never viewed myself as entrepreneurial. So mm-hmm. it took a couple of people and a couple of, you know, positive influences in my life that sort of helped me realize, like, yeah, you do have some kind of entrepreneurial tendencies in you. Because whenever you don't go to school and like even think about entrepreneurship, and I just assume I'm going to be like CMO or something one day of something, or VP of digital or something.
Yeah.
And I don't come from a family of entrepreneurs. It was like, that wasn't even on my radar, like at the slightest, you know, like not at all.
Yeah.
And so it hit a point where, you know, all these jobs, I wasn't sticking around. And again, it just hit a point where I was like, maybe that's what it is. Like, maybe I just need to like do some like side hustle type stuff and just like see if that scratches that itch of entrepreneurship. And like, maybe mm-hmm. that'll help me. And I started offering like websites to local businesses in Tampa. I would offer people to like run their ad campaigns for them and like basically just charge like a couple $100 to do it, run social media accounts. Like, I was just kind of doing little things on the side to kind of just like explore that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because I had heard from other people at different agencies I worked at that were like, oh yeah, my freelance clients are like, oh yeah, like my side hustle clients outside of work. And I'm always like, what do you mean like freelance clients? And all these people that were working at agencies, especially on the creative side and the social side, would have their job, but then like they would have three clients outside of work that they'd be helping that were kind of in the local area.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of opened my eyes to that. So I started doing the same thing. And I realized pretty quickly that all my energy and all my passion and all my excitement was going towards those. And I was just kind of getting by at my jobs.
Yeah.
And it just hit a point where I had a couple bad weeks in a row at my job. And I was already with my fiance, now fiance, who I'm marrying later in the year.
Okay.
We were already together for a couple years at this point. And we were already living together in the same place. And like, she had a stable job. And like, I had a little bit of money in savings. And I also had this mindset that like, worst case scenario, Brick Media fails and I just get another job in 3 to 6 months. So
yeah.
That's a kind of a thing I like to do sometimes, is like, if I'm debating something, just be like, what's the absolute worst that can happen here? And once I realized logically that the worst possible scenario is I go get a job again and probably make a similar amount of money and I'm just back at where I was like, that seems like a risk that's worth taking.
So yeah.
That's kind of how I decided to take the leap. And it was like mid-2018 when I did that.
Yeah. It's so interesting how you said, you know, when you were bouncing around from agency to agency, you're like questioning if, do I just not get along with management? And I think that's pretty common when you're an entrepreneur, because you have those ideas and you kind of tend to step on the toes of management as well. They're like, stay in your lane. Like, we've got this covered. And you know, when you're entrepreneurial minded, you can't help yourself. Like you're obsessed with growing things and, you know, new ideas and new processes and always making things better. So, yeah.
And everybody that knows me on a closer level, like, they know that I'm like a very kind and like, you know, pure intentions, like, type of person. So like, I would never go into these meetings with leadership and be like rude or like pushy with things.
Yeah.
But I would often be the person that was in the room that had like a differing opinion. And like, I would make that known, but I would do it in like a very nice way.
Yeah.
But eventually that stuff just eats away at you and you're like, man, like, I know that this is the right way to do it, but like, it just can't happen.
Yeah. So you're not utilizing that part of you that you just like feel like you need to express.
100%.
Yeah. So interesting. So, you know, in the early days when you were just starting out, what were some of the biggest challenges that you had to overcome?
So the obvious thing when you're first starting out is that you're doing all the work yourself and you're selling all the deals. And, you know, as soon as you sell something through, you're the one that's going and setting it up and fulfilling on it. So, you know, it got to the point where I was doing like a website in the morning and then like setting up an ad campaign in the afternoon and then like trying to crank out social media posts at night. And all of it was me up until we had like maybe 8 or 9 recurring clients. And then I finally ended up hiring my first person, but getting started, it was definitely like figuring out how to manage my time. And again, me not coming from a family of entrepreneurs or like having really anybody in my life that I could talk to regularly that was also doing the same thing. It was hard for me to figure out like, when do I hire somebody? Or like, should I be doing this for myself for now? Like, should I raise money so that I can go like hire somebody? Or should I make sure I have enough money coming in and then just pay somebody and not raise any money? And like, should I get a partner that does a certain thing, or should I do all of it? Like, all these questions are going through your head. And that was the hardest part, was like doing the work and getting the clients was actually, looking back, like kind of the easy part. The hard part was figuring out like what I was actually doing and how I wanted to structure it.
Interesting. So what did you learn from that? Like, is there, if you could go back and do it again, you know, would you have hired earlier on in the process, or would you have gone back and got a mentor maybe earlier on in your career? Is there any like sort of learning lessons that you learned from that stage?
I think the only thing that I would have maybe changed earlier on was like being a little bit more focused with my service offering and trying to figure out exactly what we were. Before even launching the business. So when we started, it was just a digital marketing agency, which can be 20 different things. Like, you know, the industry, you know, it can be like anything. And because I didn't know exactly what I wanted us to be yet, I was offering social media management, you know, writing blogs for people's websites and doing SEO and stuff like that. Email marketing, website design, paid advertising campaigns, traditional advertising campaigns. Like, it was kind of just everything. And I had to eventually reach a point, and it was kind of after I already had people on the team, where I was like, all right, this is what, these are the services that we're going to offer. And then everything else, we're either going to say no, or we're going to refer it to somebody else that's better at it versus just trying to handle all of it ourselves. So that's probably one thing that I would have, looking back, probably adjusted earlier on.
Interesting.
Because whenever you're doing that, you kind of just tell everybody, like every potential client, like, yes, we can handle that. Like, no matter what, you know, and then you just kind of figure it out later.
Yeah.
And what that caused for us is a couple client situations where inevitably, like, we're doing great at one thing, but then we're just doing like decent or like okay at another thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm so obsessed with our reputation that even somebody being like, Brick Media is like okay, like even that bothers me a lot.
Yeah. So,
because I don't want anybody, like Tampa's not a huge city. So it's like, I mean, you wouldn't want to do this in any city regardless, but it's like, you really can't have anybody saying anything bad about you, especially in an area like this, because the whole business community is so connected. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so obsessed with preserving our reputation at all costs so that, like, if I'm not in the room, everybody's saying good stuff about us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to really be concerned about that as a business owner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, you're going to have mistakes along the way, but yeah, you just got to be sort of over-delivering as much as you can and just trying to get those positive referrals as often as possible.
Absolutely.
So if you had one agency growth tip that you could share with any up-and-coming agency owners, what would that be?
Networking is everything.
Awesome.
Like, and not in a salesy way. Mm-hmm. Like, literally just meeting as many people as you possibly can. And that's obviously going to happen in real life, and it's going to happen digitally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, paying attention to your LinkedIn network and trying to grow that over time, putting out consistent content on Instagram and, you know, TikTok, Facebook, like whatever the platforms are that matter at any given time, putting out content online to grow your network and intrigue more eyeballs towards your brand. Mm-hmm. But then also sitting down with enough people in your local area, whether it's like going to the chamber and like actually meeting people in person, or starting a networking group yourself, or having a podcast like you have and interviewing people in the local area so that you can meet them face to face and like bring them value by bringing them on your podcast.
Yep.
Whatever creative, clever ways you can come up with to just meet as many humans as you possibly can, that's going to help grow your agency, because whenever you meet somebody, they might not automatically need your services. Mm-hmm. Like at that moment, like they might have an internal team. They might not need it or want it. They might not have the money for it. They might have another agency that they're locked into a contract with. But if you just know a ton of people, eventually, as long as you have a good reputation with those people and they view you as kind of an expert in your field, mm-hmm. they're going to eventually either work with you directly or they're going to refer you people that they know. So I don't really do a whole lot of selling in the traditional sense in the Tampa area. I just focus on growing my network and kind of making people like me and like our company. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just let the chips fall where they're going to fall. And that seemed to work out, because when people talk about us, I like to think at least they're saying good things, like even if they're not working with us. And yeah. Like I said, usually the business community is so connected in any city that people are talking behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And you can't force people to need your service when you want them to need it. So if you just grow that network and kind of have a good brand out there, then your agency is going to grow without you even trying.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. It's so important just to do that groundwork and just be constantly nurturing that relationship. And then, you know, whenever the time's right, hopefully you'll just be top of mind. But I'd love to see what your take on, you know, nurturing those relationships, you know, as you're networking. How do you nurture those relationships and ensure you're following up with them regularly?
Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, there's a few obvious ways that are kind of like marketing 101. Like anytime somebody books a call on my calendar, like kind of like you had the Calendly set up whenever I booked this podcast, mm-hmm. everybody that books anything on my calendar or they book a form on the website, anything, they're going to be dropped into our email list. And then I write a weekly email newsletter every Tuesday mm-hmm. that comes from me. It doesn't come from Brick Media. It comes from me. And it has the Brick Media logo and branding in it. But people, you know, open that because they see my name. There's my face in it. And I'm kind of just like giving industry tips. I'm giving like a marketing insight of the week. I'm doing like a client spotlight at the bottom. So no matter what, whenever somebody talks to me, they're going to start seeing that every week.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's part of it. And then, I mean, if you become connected to me on LinkedIn, you're probably going to get annoyed because every time you open your phone, you're going to see something I posted. So I'm literally posting multiple times a day on LinkedIn, Instagram stories. I'm kind of just trying to walk the talk, like as if somebody was working with us. Like I want them to come to me and be like, I'm so aware of you. And yeah. That's kind of the whole mindset is like, I want them to know that like, that's what we can also do for your business. Mm-hmm. But, so that's part of it is like making sure that your digital presence and like your emails and your follow-ups and all that stuff are set up in a way that if somebody interacts with you the first time, it's going to be impossible for them to not see you after that.
And then
another thing too is like, you know, I have a separate website. It's a separate business actually in its entirety, but it's called businessintampa.com. Mm-hmm. And it has like its own Instagram, its own LinkedIn, its own website. And it's basically a business news website. And one thing that I do with that is if there's a business owner that I meet and I really like them and I really like what their business is all about, you know, I might not do this immediately to make it feel spammy or anything like that or salesy. Mm-hmm. Because I go into it with like the right intentions. Like I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. But
yeah,
sometimes if somebody... either I like their vibe, I like their business, I like what they're doing, I'll go back to them and ask them if they want to be featured on businessintampa.com. And we'll do like an interview of them as the founder, or we'll like do a spotlight on their business, or we'll see that they like announced something recently on their website or on their social media. And we'll be like, hey, like we're going to cover that for you on businessintampa.com. So that's another way that I've kept in touch with people after the first contact is I built like a media platform that I can basically feature anybody on at any time. So that's another way that I'm adding value to them without me being salesy.
That's really cool.
And then, I also have a podcast. It's called Brick by Brick, which is kind of like loosely branded with Brick Media.
Yep.
And I interview people on that. And, you know, that's another way. So I think it's just, you have to create ways to add value to people.
Yeah,
because everybody else is just like, hey, let's grab lunch. Hey, let's hop on a call. And a lot of the time it feels very salesy, even if you're genuinely not trying to.
Yeah.
So that's been a big thing for me is kind of figuring out ways to be valuable to people.
That's so cool. Yeah. Create ways to add value. I love it. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's one of those things, like it's not going to come to you easily. Like you really have to put some serious thought into, you know, creating a blog where you're going to interview business owners. Like that probably didn't come to you. You probably had to sit down and think on that and come up with like a lot of ideas before you landed on that one, right?
Oh, I'm literally spending thousands of dollars every month like just to add value to people. Like that, there's no sponsors on that website. They're mm-hmm. like, there's no revenue streams, at least yet, for it. Mm-hmm. But that website, I have to pay like 5 or 6 writers every month to write the content and like find the content and like, you know, do the social media for it and stuff. So it's like, mm-hmm. there's a lot that goes into that. Like I treat it like a mini business itself. So,
yeah.
But I also, in the back of my head, I view it as like a kind of a marketing tool for me and for Brick Media.
Totally.
So it's like, even though I'm putting that investment in place, I know that making myself known and reputable in the area and like being valuable, I know that's going to pay off long term. So
yeah.
Even though I'm spending that money and it's kind of painful when I see it come out of the bank account, I'm knowing that it's going to a good place.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to talk about sales with you a little bit. So what are your, I think I actually already know the answer to this, but like what is your overall strategy for bringing sales into your business?
So a lot of it is, like I said, walking the talk, and like we have Google ads running, like we have good SEO in the local area.
Yes.
We make it very easy for people to get in touch with us.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that this is less sales and more like kind of lead gen and like how we actually get the people to us.
Yep. But
like I took contact forms off of our website, which is something that I talked about on my social media recently, but we took off all the contact forms and we have it all going to Calendly. So as soon as somebody comes to our website, it's a 15-minute intro call. That's the only option to get in touch with us. And
that's awesome.
When somebody books on that, it automatically sends them a text and an email reminder. And beforehand, whenever we had contact forms, I was getting a lot of leads, but then like none of them were actually getting on the phone with me.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of a clunky process to get people from, you know, being in my email inbox to like scheduling a time to talk or like whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Calendly takes all that work out of it. And I actually have a lot more people showing up and actually being on the phone with me. So that's helped.
Yeah.
But you know, the way that people get to our website or they come across me in the first place, like anything you can imagine to get our business out in the community, because we do mostly service the Tampa Bay, Central Florida area.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple clients that are in different cities around the country for like ads and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of it is very locally focused. So, you know, again, to kind of reiterate what I said before, it's like, it's less about selling and it's more about just getting as many people to know about us as humanly possible and using all the tools, platforms, in-person groups, you know, networking. Work here in a co-working space versus me working at home because like I want to be in front of people. We have our logo on the door, which like costs extra to do. I'm like, that needs to be something where people walk by and then they're curious about what we do. I wear the t-shirt everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's all that stuff combined.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when you operate like that, you're just setting yourself up to get lucky because you've really stacked all the different elements and you're just opening up all these different opportunities to have conversation and strike up the conversation about, oh, what is it that you do? Tell me more about what you do. And the conversation just goes from there.
It's amazing how many people just like be in the kitchen area and I'll be like filling up my water and I have my shirt on and then we start small talking. And then like 2 weeks later, they're a client and it's like completely unplanned. And it just stuff like that happens all the time. You got to put yourself in those positions.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing you mentioned that is interesting is how you mentioned that you took the contact form off your website and replaced it with Calendly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really smart because if you're able to skip a step, you know, if you're able to remove a step, especially a step that's not converting well, it just makes things so much easier. I know it's a little bit different, but I work in software and, you know, there was... I found this strategy that worked really well where I would just sell the onboarding call instead of signing up for the free trial. And then, and then whenever you sign up for the onboarding call, you have to already have signed up for the free trial. So it's like whenever you can just think a little bit outside the box and figure out ways to just speed the process along and remove a step. It's it's something I'm always thinking about.
Yeah. When you can eliminate any kind of friction from the process, I mean, that's why Amazon is one of the biggest companies in the world. Like two clicks and something's at your house in like 5 hours. So,
yeah,
you know, that's what people want these days is they want to, like, you know, in my sense, they want to get on the phone with somebody and ask questions and ask about pricing. So I'm like, what's the quickest, easiest way I can get somebody on the phone with me? And Calendly was the answer right now, at least.
Yeah, I know. It's just, and that face-to-face interaction where you can see someone's expression is so much more powerful than just talking on the phone and then also going through email. So I love that you guys do that.
Definitely.
Very cool. So I'd love to know what your biggest overall challenge has been as you've been growing Brick Media and how you've overcome that challenge.
Biggest challenge. I think for me, it's been building the team and like structuring the team and being organized about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that's been tough is like delegation because I'm only 3.5, almost 4 years into Brick Media and I'm 31 years old. So like at a high level, like when I zoom out of my life and like kind of look at it from a bird's eye view, I'm very early on in the process. So like I'm aware that I still have time to fix these things, but I'm still at the point where knowing how to set up the team and like who to staff on what thing what are some of the responsibilities that are like being handled by somebody that should be being handled by someone else, or who should collaborate on what versus do something by themselves? All these different little questions are things that I struggle with the most right now, but it's just practice. Like, I've been getting better and better as time goes on, but definitely those kinds of like operational team staffing types of things have been the hardest. But I implemented, you know, to kind of solve for some of these things, I implemented two really cool tools that I really like. So one of them is Loom. I basically record my screen, and then I'm like a little bubble in the corner, and I'm like walking through something and then saving the file. Mm-hmm. And then I've sent those to my team, and then anybody new that starts on the team, mm-hmm. so that it's like I do it once and all I have to do is record it and then it's done. So it's like that whole concept of like, do it, document it, and then delegate it. That's what somebody told me before, and I thought that was really clever. But it's just kind of that concept of like, think about the things that you do repeatedly and manually, mm-hmm. and just sit down one day and like record that, so that in the future, all you have to do is like, you know, maybe talk to somebody for 5 minutes and then just send them that video. And so that's been cool in terms of figuring out how to give responsibilities to different people and do it in a way that like I would do it, because I can actually click them through like how I would actually do it.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Monday.com, which is a project management tool. And that's been incredibly helpful with like keeping all the team's tasks in one place, and then also giving our clients access to be able to like see content in advance, read captions in advance, see what's going to be posted on what day and on what platforms and like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's been good for the client, and it's been good for us, because it kind of shows everybody at a high level like what everybody else is working on, and mm-hmm. You know, allows you to collaborate and do different things in there. So I think coming from the corporate world and then just kind of being thrown into entrepreneurship, I was almost like anti-process for a while, because I almost demonized it, because I was like, that was one of the things in the corporate world that I couldn't stand, was like, it almost felt like there was too much process at times to where it actually slowed down the work.
Right.
So I never wanted that to happen with Brick Media, which caused me to not do enough of it, ironically.
Yeah.
So I had to find that happy medium of like having enough process in place, but not too much. Mm-hmm. So that's been definitely a learning curve, but yeah, I would say that's, those two things have been the biggest challenges that I think I'm starting to overcome.
Interesting. So yeah, I know you mentioned you're documenting like your SOPs and that sort of thing for your staff, for your team. And then you're also using Monday.com for your project management. Are there any other systems or processes that have been critical for helping streamline your operations?
I mean, I know that most social media people that are listening to this would probably agree, but Canva has been a godsend.
I love
for
Canva.
Anybody in the marketing world. I mean,
yeah.
It basically puts you on like second or third base to like getting something done.
Yeah.
Where normally you'd have to start from complete scratch, but I mean, there's obviously certain types of things that you can't accomplish in Canva that you still have to use like Adobe's products for and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But for a lot of things, you can use Canva and get pretty far with it. So that's been great for us. Trello was really good for a while for us, but we kind of moved on to Monday.com and kind of put all of our tasks in there. But Trello was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Slack is really good for team communication and like just internal little things. We're also in a couple different Slack channels with clients, which really helps. So
very good.
Yeah, again, we try to have a balance of like not having too many tools to where there's like 20 different things we have to log into, but having enough to keep us productive.
Awesome. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but is there anything else you'd like to add that you feel would be beneficial to our listeners?
Oh man, that's tough. give me a little bit of context on your audience so I can maybe come up with a tip or two.
Yeah, well, our listeners are agency owners just like yourself. So anything, you know, maybe a lesson that you've learned along the way, just a helpful tip that is something that you've found helpful in your day-to-day, I'm sure they would find a lot of value from as well.
Yeah, so the one thing that's really worked for us with client retention and keeping clients sticking around for a while, because I know that that's always an issue with agencies, is they get a client, And then like 5 months in, the client drops off for whatever reason. With client retention, when we over communicate expectations upfront and we're very clear about it, clients tend to stick around for longer because they know what they're getting into. I know a lot of agencies that'll accept any client just to make the money and like be like, we'll figure it out as we go. And like sometimes have like a little bit of overconfidence that they're going to be able to figure it out. But for example, like when a client signs up for us with social media management and content creation, we're not promising them like a bunch of leads and a bunch of revenue in like a short period. And a lot of the times that does come up in the conversation, like what's my ROI going to be? Like how many sales am I going to get? Like those kind of things.
Yeah.
And if I know, for example, that the social media posts and like Instagram content, LinkedIn content, like if I know that that's not going to drive revenue, I'm going to be like very blunt and be like, you're not going to get an ROI from it. And if you do, we're not going to be able to measure it at least easily. So, and sometimes that's not what they want to hear, but it's necessary because I'd rather them not either not spend the money and like go find somebody else, you know, somebody that has more of a short-term strategy. But then also like, I don't want them to have a mediocre or poor experience with us and then we have a bad reputation. So I would just say the biggest thing is preserving your reputation at all costs. And the short-term money is sometimes nice, but the damage that it can do long-term is way worse than that. So that would be one thing, is like oversetting expectations. And then the second thing would just be not letting the communication fall off, because
it's a big one.
Yeah, we've had experiences with clients where we start off for the first couple of weeks, like talking to them a lot, like having a lot of phone calls and like really strategizing and brainstorming a lot and things like that. But there's been situations where it easily could have been a longer term client that stuck around longer. But both the client and us at times have gotten a little bit spotty with communication, where it's like, we might drop our check-ins to like once a month or like every other month or something. And then it just gets into this rhythm of like not talking enough.
Yeah.
And I think I try to, every time a new client starts with us now, I try to make sure that at the very beginning, one of the first things we do is say like, all right, what's our weekly or bi-weekly like phone call or meeting schedule going to be? Like you almost have to force it like a personal trainer and be like, we're meeting at this time. And like every week we're doing it, like we have to do it or else this is going to fall apart.
But yeah,
sometimes business owners and people on internal teams for marketing that are working with agencies, a lot of the time they just get so busy and like kind of deprioritize the agency relationship, but that's going to actually be detrimental long-term because then they're just going to feel like, the agency is just kind of doing their thing. Like we don't really talk that much. And eventually you might just get a random email like, hey, we're looking at other options. And then you're like, man, if I just would have communicated more.
Yeah,
so that's a huge.
Absolutely. I agree. And you know, when you over communicate, you know, do the whole like under promise over deliver type thing. And, you know, they're just going to be happier clients in general. You know, they're going to just, like you said, they're going to be crystal clear on, you know, what you're delivering to them. And at the end of the day, you know, happy clients are the ones that are going to bring in more referrals as well. So it's, you know, it's just so important to have that communication dialed in, because at the end of the day, it's just going to help grow your agency.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really happy to say that our first client ever that literally signed up in September 2018 is still our client right now.
That's amazing.
Super cool.
Very cool. And it's cool to see how much they've grown too in that time, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, they had like 3 or 4 employees at the time, and I think now they have like 15 or 20.
That's amazing.
So seeing that evolution and being a part of the whole thing has been really rewarding and cool.
Nice. It's awesome. Yeah. So we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So
let's do it.
What's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I really like, there's a few of them. I really like Gary Vee's books are really good. I really like his recent one, 12 and a half.
Nice.
It's all about the 13 ingredients that are kind of like soft skills that are essential for business success. And the reason I really like that book is it breaks down like how things like kindness and empathy and patience and like kind of soft skills like that mm-hmm. really translate over into the business world in like a very practical way.
Yeah.
Because those are known as like very fluffy words that are kind of just like nice to haves.
Yeah. But
the way that the book breaks it down and like paints actual scenarios really makes you realize like, oh yeah, like those are really important and like actually make a difference in the business world, like even financially. Mm-hmm. So that book made a big impact. Cause I feel like I've always kind of, you know, had some of those soft skills and then lacked other ones. So just being able to picture how it helps was really impactful.
Interesting. I know I love Gary Vee. I haven't read that book, but it's interesting because sometimes you're just like, I like that person and you can't necessarily put a finger on like why you do, but it's, you know, cause they just have one of those skills, you know, they're just like someone you trust or they have empathy or kindness or whatever it is. So, mm-hmm. and, you know, and I then actually, you'll do business with that person cause you like them.
100%. And around Christmas time this past year, I bought like 25 or 30 of those books to just give out to people.
That's cool.
So I have a couple extra ones. I'll send you one.
Oh, awesome. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And so next question, what does your morning routine look like?
I try my hardest to wake up as early as I can. Like I'm even on the weekends, I'm the type of person that's up at like 7 or 7:30.
Yeah.
I can't be in bed super, like even if I wake up at 8:30, I feel like I'm way behind or something like that. So
yeah.
One is just waking up early. A lot of people that are health friends and know things about health in my life always tell me to eat breakfast, but I just can't eat breakfast. maybe I need to just train myself to be able to do it, but
yeah.
Usually I just go straight for like a bunch of water and then eventually I kick in like the coffee or like a Celsius or something like that. Mm-hmm. But not really a big breakfast person. I kind of just like dive right into my day. Mm-hmm. I read a devotional or like the Bible app every morning because that's the big part of my life as well. Mm-hmm. I try to make sure that I at least do that before I do anything else in the day. Sometimes take the dog for a walk around the neighborhood. We have a golden retriever that's amazing. So we spend a lot of time with him. It's not a super set routine, but I kind of just wake up early and like dive right into my day. Like I want to get a little bit better and maybe do like some meditation or like, I've been really into researching like the cold water therapy and stuff lately, like the Wim Hof method.
I know it's interesting. I don't know if it's for me, but it is really interesting.
Yeah. But like part of me would love to just have like at least try to like do a cold shower or like take an ice bath or something to kind of like kickstart my brain. But, haven't quite gotten there yet, but I would say the main theme of my morning routine is just wake up as early as possible and then start getting productive and awake as soon as I can.
Awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. And next question, is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Gary Vee mm-hmm. is kind of the main one that like everybody that's watching on Instagram Live right now is probably smirking because they know that I'm like the local Gary Vee fanatic. it's kind of like, I don't always love the way that he puts things out with like the harshness of it sometimes, but like, with him being a marketing agency owner and obviously me trying to build one from scratch, he's obviously kind of like the North Star, like in the social media world. So I've always kind of followed along with him and the way that he does business. And even though he does come off as very harsh, I do believe that he has good intentions behind all of it. And he's definitely made a big impact on like, just if I'm ever in kind of a pessimistic mindset or like demotivated, like I'll throw on a Gary Vee podcast and it kicks me right back into gear. And then there's a couple people locally here in Tampa that have been mentors of mine for the past 4 or 5 years that have just always sat down with me and talked me through things. Like when I literally have nothing to offer them, like they're still willing to sit down with me and kind of coach me through certain things.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people like that locally here too, but Gary would be the kind of the known one that everybody, you know, knows who he is and everything like that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And what is your favorite online tool?
Oh man, I feel like it changes a lot, but I'm really into Monday.com right now. I feel like it just keeps everything so organized and keeps me so on point. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how much I needed it until I actually was using it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
When I look at how much I use it now and how many tasks I put into it and how I keep track of everything, I'm blown away that I even was able to build Brick Media without something like that. All that was just in my head, or it was on like a random piece of notebook paper. So
yeah,
that's my favorite right now. And I also really like this podcast tool that I found called StreamYard. Have you heard of that?
Okay. No, I haven't heard of that one.
It's really cool. So it's basically like what we're doing right now, except like on the top and on the bottom where like it's all black, you can put like your branding behind it. And
oh, cool.
You can put like your podcast logo and stuff like that. And the other cool thing is you connect all your social platforms to it. Mm-hmm. And it allows you to go simultaneously live on all your platforms, like while you're recording a show.
That's so cool.
Basically, all you would have had to do, like in this episode, for example, is like, as soon as you start actually doing the interview where like it turns on, all you got to do is click go live at on the top corner, and then it's broadcast to all your social channels. So amazing. I'm really into that right now too.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, that's right in line with Gary Vee's whole 100 pieces of content a day.
Yeah. They actually spit out the
five
video.
Five pieces out at once. Yeah,
yeah,
it's amazing.
Exactly. For sure. So cool.
And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
When I began my career, I wish I would have known that. So when I started my actual marketing career, I was probably what, like 20, 22 or something like that. I wish I would have known that at age 31, so like almost a decade into my career, I would still feel just as young and energetic and like optimistic and go-getter as I did at 22. Mm-hmm. I was kind of in a rush for a while and felt like I had to have it all figured out by a certain age. And I guess I just didn't realize that at 31, 32, I would still feel like I was 22, 23, obviously without drinking as much alcohol. But I feel almost like I'm in a better place, and like I'm almost like in my prime right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people that are 40, 45 listening to this are probably like, you're going to feel like you're in your prime at 40, 45. So
yeah.
I'm sure, you know, every phase of life, you probably look back and think like, man, I'm still young. And like, you know, I just think that life is long. And I think a lot of the time people think they need to have things figured out at a certain time. Mm-hmm. And you actually have way more time than you realize. So I think it would just be like, you know, don't stress so much about your career. Like it's all going to work itself out. You have plenty of time to figure it out. You can make mistakes and not worry about it. And I think it would just been like, you know, maybe have a little bit less stress about career and realize how much time you have.
Yeah, such a great point. Yeah, so many people spend so much of their life worrying about things. So instead of worrying about your future, just know that it's all going to work out and you've got great things to look forward to.
Right. Completely agree.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Jake. It was a pleasure to learn about your story and how you started Brick Media. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.